All right, all kids 4 through 6 years old that want to go to children's church can meet Matthew and Kristen in the back, and they will take them over, 4 years old to 6 years old. The rest of you, if you will, open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, I want to look at the first, or I'm going to read those verses there, and then I want you to put your finger in Hebrews chapter 11, because we will be moving back and forth between these two. In Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the side of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give you this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded there from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near Egypt that he said to Sarah his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptian sees you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, that I may live on account of you." It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptian saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore he treated Abram well for her sake, and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. Outside of Jesus himself, probably no one else has made the impact on the world more so than the man we'll talk about today. In Genesis chapter 12 here, we begin to gain a little insight into Abram. And he would later become known as Abraham, and we know him more as Abraham. But he's held in high esteem. He's the guy the Jews, Muslims, Christians all look to. In ancient times, the Jews considered him almost worthy of worship. In the Bible, Abraham is identified as a man who lived a life of faith, so much so that he is called a friend of God. Now it says Enoch walked with God, but Abraham was a friend of God. So that's kind of where he is on the scale of faith. We see him mentioned in the roll call of faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. But you know, why study a guy who lived 4,000 years ago? That's a question that comes to mind. Why study a guy who lived so long ago? Well, number one, he's mentioned in Scripture, so that makes him important. Secondly, his life teaches us a lot about living by faith. And you know what? Living by faith is the goal of every Christian. If you're here today and you claim the name of Christ, then you live a life of faith. Abraham is one of our forefathers in faith. And what we will see today is maybe the way God called him, the way God calls us, is very similar, even though it's been 4,000 years ago. There was a time in the distant past where, you know, when God first saw Abram, he might have been considered a nobody. He was just another nameless face in a crowd of humanity. His original home was in a place called Ur, located what we call Iraq. Very close. His home would have been very near the center of where 1991, the Gulf War was fought. The city was a beacon of intellectual activity. At the same time, it was farming, a lot of ranching that went on there, a lot of flocks, a lot of herds. It's a place of great wickedness. They worshipped other gods, Siri, the moon god. Idolatry was all over the place. But this story is a story of how God pulled a man out of a situation like that, changed not only the man's life, but the nation's life through him. You know, faith always asks something of us. Faith is more than walking down the aisle of a church, shaking the preacher's hand, getting your name on a list, going and being baptized. Faith is a lifelong commitment to trust God. That's Abraham's decision when he followed. The Lord asked him to obey in faith. Trust me. And we're going to talk about how he trusted him at times and how he didn't trust him at times. Similarly, in our life, we live as a Christian to a call of faith, a call from our past life, a call to a new life. It's a call from the old to the new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. You know, we're not told how the call came to Abram. We're not told whether it was in a vision. We're not told whether it was auditory. However it came, he knew when it came. He was told to leave his country for a land that God would show him later. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 reminds us it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. Put yourself in Abram's place this morning. To try to understand how faith works, put yourself in Abraham's place. He's 75 years old. He's lived in this place probably his whole life. He's known in the community. His wife is in her mid-60s. They've been there a long time. Suddenly, one day, the Lord appears and says, "Pack up. I want you to leave." Now, you can imagine the conversation he might have had. I don't know. But imagine if a neighbor was by, maybe. The neighbor stops over and says, "Hey, Abraham, what's going on?" "I'm packing." "Why are you packing?" "Well, I'm moving." "Where are you moving to?" "I don't know." "Why are you moving? You mad at somebody?" "No, God told me to." You know, can you imagine 75 years of living up all your possessions, and now you're gone. Where are you going? "Don't know." You know what? That's a lot like our Christian life. When God calls you to salvation, when you answer the call of the Holy Spirit to come to salvation, why doesn't God give us a plan? Why doesn't He tell us what we need to be doing in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? We walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham teaches us about faith. He didn't know where the road would lead. He didn't know where the obstacles along the way. He just knew it was time to go. That's the way faith works. God shows us as He wants us to know. You know, sometimes faith doesn't make sense to those outside the community of faith. Sometimes God asks us to do things that the world would look at it and say, "That doesn't make sense." I'll give you a few examples. Driving back from Arkansas one time, we stopped. It was Sunday. We were driving, making our way back. Stopped at a Chick-fil-A. You know, when I see a Chick-fil-A, I automatically turn in. It's just one of those things that's inside me. Preachers, chicken, Chick-fil-A, it all goes together. So I turn in. Nobody's there. "Oh, it's Sunday." And, you know, then the comment is, "Man, this place is always packed around." Imagine how much money Chick-fil-A would make if they stayed open on Sunday. Why don't they? Because they choose to live by faith. Faith doesn't always make sense. The world looks at that and says, "That's crazy. You're giving up a seventh of your income. Maybe more than that. It's a weekend." Hey, forgiveness. Our world teaches get even, right? A lot of people live by that. God says forgive. Which is easier? about giving at church? You know, hey, we work hard for that income. Why should we give it to the church for ministry? The world looks at that and says, you're dumb. But you know, we hear another voice. We hear a voice of faith, or we should hear that voice of faith. Obedience. Why send a group of people from your church to Paraguay? Aren't there enough lost people in Wise County? Because God says we're supposed to do more than just reach the lost of Wise County. We're supposed to reach the world. This morning, as I'm preaching here, there are people from our church preaching in Paraguay. And the God who is with us here is also with them there. Because we live by faith. We believe that we serve a God like that. Without faith, the Scripture says it's impossible to please God. Rewards of faith and other. And look at verses 2 and 3, the rewards of faith. God told Abram to go. He said, go forth from your country, and this is what you can expect. Verse 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families on the earth will be blessed because of you. Three things are going to result, Abram, from you being obedient. Number one, you're going to be blessed personally. Number two, you're going to be blessed. Your country is going to be blessed because of you. You're going to receive national blessing. And thirdly, there's going to be international blessing. All the people of the world are going to be blessed because of you. Hey, faithfulness always impacts others. Your faithfulness, sometimes when you're living and trying to live for the Lord and be faithful and you wonder, man, is it really making any difference? Faith always makes a difference. It may not be internationally. Faith always makes a difference. Faith always brings blessings. You know, some covenants are conditional. If you do this, I'll do this. But this covenant that God made with Abraham here was a promise. He promised to bless the nation without conditions. You know, we don't like to wait for blessings. We like to, when we're trying to be faithful, that the blessings come now. Unfortunately for Abraham, that wasn't the case. He had to wait a long time for the blessings to see the reward of faithfulness. But God, in His plan to redeem the world from sin, God built a great nation upon one man's faith. And let me tell you, think about this. I've thought about this many times. When you hear the war, when you hear the news and you listen, how does Israel survive in the midst of all those nations who hate them, who would rather they not even exist? And they're crazy enough to try to blow everything up to make that happen? How do they exist? I believe they exist because of this promise. And I believe Israel still matters today because of this promise. God said He would take care of them. And I believe He has. But understand this, Abraham's faith wasn't perfect. Our faith is not perfect. Sometimes we try to live by faith and we fail. Abraham had just made this commitment to obey. He lives for the Lord. And then when his first test comes up, he fails the test. Look down in verses 10 through 20. They're going into Egypt. Abram gets scared. You know what? My wife is good looking. You know what? The king, old Pharaoh, is going to want you in his harem. So we better make this deal. Let's tell him you're my sister. And that way, I can live and you can live. Because if I tell him that you're my wife and he sees how pretty you are, I'm going to be null and void. He's going to take care of me so he can have you. You know what? He lost faith in God's protection. He lost faith in what God could do. Has that ever happened to you? Ever lose faith in that God's taking care of you? You're struggling with something and you begin to wonder, man, maybe I need to come up with a better plan. I know what the Bible says, but I think this might work instead. That's what happened to Abram. This account reminds us of some truths. First of all, everyone faces famine. There was a famine in the land, so Abram left. You know what? There's a famine in everybody's life from one time or another. A doctor's report with the worst possible news. Divorce. Death of a loved one. Unemployment. Those things happen in our life. Everyone faces famines. Abram faced a famine here. Every crisis contains a lie, secondly. I can handle this without God. You know, that's our first thing that we try to convince ourselves of. I've got enough ingenuity that I can figure it out on my own. Our own default response competes with faith. I've got this. So before I trust in God, I've got to come up with a plan, right? A lot of times when we're faced with a crisis, that's what we do. We plan, and then we take it to God. When the Scripture says, take it to God, and then let God give you the plan. Every compromise jeopardizes someone. Abram's plan was to tell them, hey, this is my sister. But all that did was put them in jeopardy. Abraham jeopardized Sarah by making her the newest addition to Pharaoh's harem. She had to ask herself, what am I doing here? I'm married to him, and I'm over here with Pharaoh's girls. You know, we're connected to other people in life. If you fail to live by faith, those closest to you will be affected by that failure. Sin may be in secret, but we never sin alone because those closest to us are affected by our sin. Fourthly, every Egypt has a Pharaoh. We live among people who don't know God. And how they view God is often determined by how they see us. They serve other gods. They may serve wealth. They may serve possessions. They may serve power. They may serve self. But they look at Christians and they wonder, do they believe what they say they believe? When they see faithful wandering, making unwise choices, sometimes then they look at God and say, well, he must not be real. We confuse them. No one respects hypocrisy. No one respects those double standards. And they give up on him. You know, thankfully, God doesn't give up on us when we fail. So we shouldn't give up on ourselves. His first test, Abram failed it. But I'm going to tell you, there would be more tests to come. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, there's always more tests to come. And this time when the test came, he would pass. Hebrews 11, 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. The same guy who was afraid here that God wouldn't protect him was later willing to offer up the most precious gift he had, the son that he had waited on, to sacrifice if necessary. Faith is something that grows as it gets used and as it gets tested. Hebrews 11:13. Some who lived in faith also died in faith without receiving the things promised. They saw them in the distance and welcomed them. You know what that says? They were confident that God would keep his word. You know, sometimes the walk of faith, we see blessings immediately. Sometimes the walk of faith, we live and we live and we grow and we pray and we ask and we don't see what we ask for. Abraham didn't. But he trusted that God would keep his promise anyway. That's what faith is all about. God will take care of us. God will provide. People of faith realize that we're on a journey. And we are on a journey. Christians are on a journey. greater things lay ahead. Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. I want to read these verses. These are some of my favorite verses in Scripture. Hebrews 11, 39. I'm going to start in verse 36, 37. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You know what? They gained approval even though they didn't see what they had hoped for. They were trusting that God keeps His promises. You know what? That's the Christian life in a nutshell. The belief that God keeps His promises. The way I define faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. And that's where we all got to get to, because the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. It also says without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without reaching the point in our life that I'm willing to forsake all and trust Him. Abraham started that a long time ago when Genesis 12, God says go. He didn't say where, He didn't say how, He just said go. And Abraham said, okay. Along the way, he made some mistakes. Along the way in your Christian life, you'll fall down a few times. The key is get back up, move forward, and trust God. Because we've all been given an unconditional promise. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The promise of everlasting life to all who believe. You see, our faith has to be in a person. A lot of times we can put faith in things that don't last. You remember that promise God made to Abraham? All the people of the world will be blessed through you. How did that come to be? It came to be through Jesus. Jesus came from the line of Abraham. That the world, all who believe, and trust in that unconditional promise to receive Him as their Lord and Savior and to have everlasting life. This morning, have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you put your faith in the only one who can guarantee the outcome? You see, He paid the penalty on the cross for your sin, and you are a sinner, as everybody that sits in here is a sinner. They're all sin, none righteous, no, not one. You need help. You need what Jesus can offer, but you can't get there yourself. You can do all the right things in the world. You can be good. You can be a good person. You can help others. You can be a great humanitarian. And you can go to hell without Jesus, because He's the only perfect one. Through Abraham, Christ came to save you from your sin if you will put your faith in Jesus and trust in the promises of God. Here this morning, you need to know Christ. We're going to have a hymn of invitation in just a minute. Offer you the opportunity. Come forward and say, Brother Gary, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. Maybe you're here today and you've made that decision. You've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you know, sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we don't see what we pray for. Continue on in faith. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Don't give up on God, because listen, God doesn't give up on us. He's still listening, and He's still got a plan. Trust Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are a God who keeps Your promises. You teach us and tell us to walk by faith. We look at the example of Abraham and how he walked by faith. And we see even today we are blessed because he did. Thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus to this earth to die for our sins. Pray that if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, that today might be the day that the old has passed away and the new has come, a new start, a new hope. new outcome. Lord, speak to the hearts of your people today. Remind us that we can trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray.